Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisternino here, and we have some very special coverage for you for the new CBS reality TV series, Game On. And here with me to talk about it all, and definitely not to jinx this series, here is the man who I've been podcasting with for so many years, closing in on a decade, about different random reality TV shows. You can currently hear him as part of the Top Chef Roundtable over on our Top Chef for Hap Up show. Here's the great Kurt Clark.
Oh, Rob.
Oh, boy, Kurt. Game on.
This is no Million Dollar Mile, my friend.
Do we have a doozy of a show to talk about? Yes.
Oh, gosh. If I can flatten the curve of this show, I will. Let's do this.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know exactly what the audience is going to be for Game On. Even in a pandemic, will people be watching Game On? Okay. Kurt, we're going to talk about it all. And basically, let's tell you about the fever dream we experienced here tonight. Because I don't even think that if you did not watch the show, and we'll tell you what happened, I don't think you're going to be prepared for this.
And I don't think you, if you watched the full show and you tried to predict, okay, I now know what's going to happen next week, I have an idea, you're probably going to be wrong.
Yeah. I watched the whole show twice and I still don't even understand what the show is.
Gosh, I can't believe that. I'm still like, I feel horrible for you.
Yes. At one point it looked like that maybe Kurt and I were going to record after the East Coast version. So I watched the East Coast version and then we recorded after the West Coast version. And now here we are, watch it again. All right.
I've never wished for more commercials. Like, I've never been like, please let this be. Okay. It's not a commercial break. Great. Okay, I guess I'll sit through it. Like, yes. I wanted there to be more commercials, Rob.
Not enough commercials on Game On! Exclamation point from yes. James Corden had something to do with this. Was this part of his deal at CBS?
I guess so. It's like if you took Celebrity Game Night and then combined it with I Survived a Japanese Game Show. I don't know if you remember that yeah. gem. It was kind of like those two things had this demon child.
Yeah. The closest that I could come up with, this is like Ryan's Mystery Playdate for adults who hate themselves.
Golly. Yeah.
Yeah,
and these episodes have to be in. They're in the can now. Right? I mean,
they're in the can.
Filmed. Yeah,
I don't know, Kurt, if these episodes were ever going to see the light of day if there was no coronavirus. So originally, it was announced, hey, after Survivor 40 ends, then the week after, The Amazing Race is going to be back. Amazing Race 32 is going to get the Survivor time slot. And the Survivor fans, the Amazing Race fans, they cheered. They were happy. Okay, good. No Big Brother on the horizon. Well, okay, let's just jump right into this Amazing Race that's been in the can forever. Then, at some point in the spring, they said, hold up, bro. Instead, here is Game Night. And I feel like initially they said it was also going to be Game Night and then the new Phil Kogan show, Tough as Nails. That's actually coming in July. And so here is Game Night. And so let me just set up what this is. Hosted by Keegan-Michael Key. It is a show that pits two teams, Team Gronk versus Team Venus Williams. And they have different guests every week that are on their team. And then they do like wacky, like double dare stunts. And then also answer weird trivia questions.
And guests. Yeah. Yeah.
And guest stuff.
Yeah. It's. Yeah. I think it seems like Bobby Lee and Ian Carmel are permanent team members. And there's like a third spot on each team that's going to kind of have that rotating.
A rotating person.
Yeah.
It seems like, Kurt, it's marketed towards sports fans. It's that, yes, I like Japanese game shows and also sports. This is like a very niche audience that we're trying to hit here with this.
Extremely. And I don't know how they got Venus Williams to do this.
Paid her a lot of money.
That's probably how they got Venus Williams to do this.
Yes. And I am ready to say here tonight, Game On is the worst show I have ever seen. It is worse than Million Dollar Mile. This makes TKO look like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. This makes Candy Crush look like Downton Abbey. Candy Crush would look like.
Downton Abbey,
that's right. Kurt, am I being hyperbolic?
No, you're not. This is...
If you don't want to hear me rant tonight, turn this podcast off. Go listen. I talked to Ethan Zahn. We had a lovely conversation.
And on the flip side of the coin, we have this.
Tomorrow. I talked to Michelle Fitzgerald. That podcast will be up on Thursday night.
I'm trying to think, especially of everything we've ever talked about, it's definitely bottom of the barrel. And I'm trying to think of the shows that we haven't talked about that I've
Ultimate Tag, Kurt. So right, what was better?
So I was even thinking this, Ding, Marry, Kill. Right now you have got Game On, Ultimate Tag, and Holy Moly.
Yeah.
And I would watch, I've already deleted Game On from my DVR, the series record. It's gone. I took it off. It's no longer there. Ultimate Tag. Mm-hmm. It was fun. It was cheesy. It was kind of like American Gladiators, but they gave up on the names. And then Holy Moly is just the hosts are hilarious. Marry Holy Moly.
Holy Moly is fun. There's fun to be had on Holy Moly. There is nothing redeemable here. Even TKO. Okay, Kevin Hart is funny. Million Dollar Mile. There was Matt Money Smith and Tim Tebow. And it looked cool. There is nothing here.
There's absolutely nothing here, Rob. This is...
Who is this for?
People who just habitually tune into CBS at 8 p.m. on Wednesdays?
I don't know. I don't know what the rating is going to be on Wednesday for tonight, but I can't imagine anybody comes back for Game On week two.
Well, game way off. But I think was it Ronda Rousey and Demi Lovato, I think, are the guests next week.
Oh, okay. I'll check that out. Yeah. So, all right. Let's just recap what happened here, and then let people be. Maybe people are going to write in and say, "Hey, you guys were way too hard. I loved Game On. It appealed to me. It was fun. It was exactly what I was looking for right now. I don't need something so serious. I love athletes. I like to see comedians, the acting of really cracking up over nothing." Falling out of their chair over the most innocuous of jokes. That's what I love. And so Game On was for me.
Quite possibly. I mean, you know, there's a lid for every pot, they say. And so there's, quite possibly some people in the RHAP audience who this is their pot.
Yes. And maybe there's people that are like, hey, I was on pot and I love this.
Maybe that's what I did wrong.
Yes.
Here's the thing is some of these games might be fun. I wonder if this would be an in-person. I don't know. Does this become more fun if you're in the audience? I'm going to say no. I'm going to guess no.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I feel like I'm just repeating myself here, Rob. This was no bueno. This was...
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk it through and maybe we can make sense of what's going on here in Game On. Okay. So we get the setup of Game On from Keegan-Michael Key, who I have to say... does a very serviceable job as host. I think that I was going to give the one biggest compliment I'll say to the show. I think Keegan-Michael Key, he's fine. He doesn't say or do anything funny, but it was fine.
Yeah, yeah. He does a good job as a host.
He's a big name. He's fine.
He's hosted, I think Brain Games is on National Geographic. He's the most recent iteration of it. He's the host of that. He does a good job there. So he's fine. I wish he would do a little bit less of the, okay, the game is over, but now let's just keep playing it for a few rounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
let's move on.
Sure.
That's kind of a Kalish move, I think,
yeah.
In terms of, you know, let's go through these questions. We have them.
Can't believe you called him a Kalish-esque host.
But yeah, no, yeah, he's fine. He's not what needs to be fixed.
Yeah. Okay. So we are set up this rivalry, Gronk versus Venus Williams. Okay. Are people going to be rooting at home? Are you a Gronk person? Are you a Venus Williams person?
I really don't think so. And then you've randomly got J.R. Smith on one team, so even if you're just a fan of a sport.
He's a rotating guest in. I think that basically we're going to bring in people from the world of sport, and we're also going to bring in like B and C level comedians.
Yeah.
And eventually pop stars from the 90s. We'll get to that.
Yeah. And maybe if you're looking at like some great all-time rivalries, they could have maybe gone for something different than Gronk and Venus. I don't know. Maybe that's just what was available to them. So that's step one. Step one, Keegan. Step two, team captains, Gronk and Venus.
Kurt, how much does somebody have to love either Rob Gronkowski or Venus Williams to be tuning into this show on a regular basis? Is the biggest Gronk stan or Venus Williams stan in the world tuning in to Game On to see their hero every week?
I think that's actually probably a good answer to your question of who will tune into this, at least initially. I think the Venus Williams fans will be like, okay, what's this about?
By the way, chalk up a executive producer credit for Rob Gronkowski on this one. This show has more executive producers than any other show in the history of the world. That I count right now on IMDb, 8 different executive producers, including Rob Gronkowski, Keegan-Michael Key, and L. Key, who I guess is the wife of Keegan-Michael Key.
Great.
And James Corden.
Of course, yeah, James. I could see Gronk fans, though, eating this up.
No, there are no Gronk fans anymore because they were all Patriots fans and he left the Patriots. maybe Bucks fans, maybe John is tuning in to see his hero Gronk.
Maybe. And I'm like the wrong person to ask that because I'm not a big NFL fan, but the I don't know. I it's an initial curiosity. It's a recognizable name that gets you in the door.
Yeah, it seems like if I had to guess the, you know, development of this, I think it comes out of the world of James Corden. I don't know if he has a development deal at CBS, a la like Ellen is develops shows. But it seems like that there are other parties that are involved with the Late Late Show that are on the creative team for this.
But it almost seems like in that instance you'd have, okay, we've got the pilot shot, but we kind of stopped there. But no, this is several episodes in the can, as we've said, and this got to a green light at some point. And I would have thought like maybe let's workshop this a little bit more. But no, I think we'll take this draft of the concept and run with it.
It's like, hey, we've got talent. Let's go. Let's run with it. I mean, you have names. You have people that are names. I mean, it's sort of like if this was like you have bigger names than you would have in a celebrity Big Brother cast.
Oh, well, you had some celebrity Big Brother cast. We'll get to that.
Hey, Venus Williams, Rob Gronkowski, Keegan-Michael Key. Okay, some big names. Okay, but we really don't have an idea for what this show is. All right, so we meet the rest of Team Gronk. Bobby Lee, Kurt, are you a Mad TV guy?
I actually was a Mad TV guy. I was more into Mad TV than SNL.
Oh.
Mad TV was on. Yeah, that was Will Sasso and Mo Collins and one of my improv instructors from Chicago was on the cast. So
yeah,
huge Mad TV guy. Not a huge Bobby Lee fan.
But
I can do the Mad TV.
Yeah, Bobby Lee, known for Mad TV. Apparently, he's had roles in the Harold and Kumar series of films. That he was. Oh, he's on Nature Cat. I didn't know that. Okay.
Nature Cat?
Yeah, Nature Cat. And I don't know much else of what Bobby Lee has been doing since Mad TV. But he's billed as the hilarious Bobby Lee.
Oh, is he?
Mm-hmm.
He was in, he wasn't in that. Never mind. I'm just used to seeing him pop up in random things, but it's been a while.
Okay. And then we have another big comedian, and I mean that he is a successful comedian. Gabriel Iglesias is here.
Yes, a name that I do recognize. Sure. We'll have him on the team as well. So you've got a athlete and two comedians.
Yes.
We'll go for that.
Yes. Very, very successful comedian.
Yes.
Star of Mr. Iglesias, the TV series. But he's known as Mr. Fluffy.
Just Fluffy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But he's been, so he's here as well.
Yeah,
all
he's
part
the guest.
Of Team Gronk. Then we have over on Team Venus Williams, we meet Ian Carmel. Kurt, are you familiar with Ian Carmel?
I am not. This is the first I have seen or heard of Mr. Carmel.
Yeah, I don't know him particularly well. He's known for the Late Late Show with James Corden.
Of course.
According to IMDb, he's a writer, actor, known for the Late Late Show Carpool Karaoke Primetime Special. I guess he's been on the Tony Awards. Okay, he's here as well, Ian Carmel.
And I know he's known by some people. I was actually chatting with Natalie Franklin before the show, and she said that she loves him.
Yes.
So there are some people in the audience who are aware of
him. He appears to like have some sort of work with the Tonys. I don't know if he's a Broadway actor. I'm not sure exactly what his other works are.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, everybody. Sorry that he's been on Chelsea lately at one point, but don't know a lot about Ian Carmel. And then NBA basketball player, former Knick, J.R. Smith is here.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm gonna chalk up my own ignorance. I am not familiar with J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
It did seem odd to me that one team has one athlete and two comedians, and the other one has two athletes and one comedian. But it's not like what we're about to see is really going to be impacted by that necessarily a whole lot.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So J.R. Smith, he really is kind of the forgotten man on the teams. He has one moment here in the beginning of this episode where we get to our first game.
Yeah. So we also learned this is going to be a series of games. Mm-hmm. So you've got two teams, you've got points. Oh, and the stakes, the non-winning team, Rob, is going to be forced to take the L.
Yes. So this is what we're playing for here every week. The team that doesn't win is going to take the L. You will take the L if you don't win.
Yeah, yeah. It's and it appears to be some sort of punishment. This is a little bit for those who've seen Impractical Jokers, the person of the four that comes in with the fewest points has to suffer some sort of embarrassing punishment or consequences. It's kind of a light version of that.
Is take the L a commonly used phrase?
I was gonna say it is now, but no, it's not still now. Like I knew with the, I knew what they meant.
Yes. I think it meant maybe it's a fortnight. Maybe it's perhaps it's a thing that young people are saying, and I don't know.
Oh, you mean in the online gaming world?
In the online gaming world, yeah.
Do we need to ask Rick Devins about that?
Let's see. Okay, hold on. Let's see if I hit. Take the L, Fortnite Battle Royal. I don't know. Again, all right.
When I lived in Chicago, I took the L to work.
Took the L. You took the L to work. Take the L.
But yeah. Okay. So we don't really know. I guess that's going to vary from week to week what kind of punishment or embarrassing consequence that is. But okay, so there's light table stakes. Always a fun element of a show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So maybe somebody's like, hey, take the L is a rare emote in the battle royal that could be obtained as a reward. I don't know. I don't know that it take the L is a dumb thing. They really yada yada take the L by the time we get to that.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right. First competition is going to be Pop Cycle, is that what we're calling this?
Yeah, I first I was like, that's a strange. I was like, is that supposed to be a pun? I was like, I guess it is because they said the water was popsicle.
Oh, that's a real stretch.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what as I was typing, is this supposed to be a pun? I was like, well, I guess maybe it is. They said the water is cold.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay.
It's a weak pun, but yeah, they're on they have one person from each team, in this case, JR versus Gronk, and they have to pedal on a stationary cycle. Yes.
It was like speed. That if your bicycle, if your stationary bicycle drops to below 100 RPM, a balloon filled with ice cold water will be lowered, and you wear a helmet that has spikes on it. And we're supposed to be invested in who is going to pop the balloon, and then the other team will get 3 points.
Well, Venus was very much on the edge of her seat during this competition, actually.
I guess
like, this is a nail biter.
Yeah.
And so yeah, those bikes did not look like they were going to take much more riding after this. I was more concerned for the safety of the bikes actually staying in one piece than for, you know, any other outcome of this competition.
Yeah.
But at least we had those nice little meters behind them that showed the RPMs, and for every moment that the meter was below 100, then the balloon would slowly descend. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. Gronk is going to win this one. But then the balloon is still going to pop on Gronk's head.
Yeah, it was still inches above his head. He stood up a little too tall and got it. But yeah, so this was worth 3 points. And so right now we have Team Gronk ahead with an early 3-0 lead.
For those scoring at home. Kurt,
yes.
That Gronk showed the secret to his success is that he started like flexing his quads for us. It was the quads, baby.
Yeah, yeah, that was a new one.
Yeah,
wasn't sure what to make of that, but you know, good for him. At least this was all purely just brute force and physicality. So good on Gronk. You know, He earned his 3 points with those quads. Although with the quad, you think it would be 4 points, but no, still three.
Okay. Nice to know that Gronk has a great quadriceps. I don't know about his traps.
I don't know if Troy's sore, but my legs are sore. My arms are sore. My trapezoids are sore.
Yeah.
Oh, God bless you, Sester Nino.
The Gronk is probably going to be sore after that. It's a good thing he got the ice bath.
Can we cover this show only using clips from other shows better than this show?
Sure, sure. Just go down memory lane.
There we go.
All right, Kurt. Then we get to another game where we are going to be assigning off-the-wall theories to athletes that said them.
Yeah, the last game, and unless I'm wrong, the last game had the snappy title of Pop Cycle. This one didn't have a snappy title card. It was basically just like match the hot take to the athlete, to the opinion. And apparently the opinions were taken off. They were summarized for us, but then later we actually saw the tweets that led to some of these opinions.
Right, and this is a show where it seems like for some reason it's like. I think that some of these tweets were jokes, and this show like kind of misrepresented them, and then made it seem like that these people are dumb. I don't know. Maybe Jose Canseco is out there, but we get we have to match up a tweet or a hot take to the NBA player Jahlil Okafor. 1-2 Jacoby Brissett and 1-2 Jose Canseco. And the three hot takes are: mermaids are real, space is cold, how could the sun be hot, and ancient gravity was weak. Those are the three hot takes.
Yeah, and then each team had to match up the tweet to, or the thought to, the athlete. So there's a potential of 3 points given to either team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just there's like there no connective tissue between this and the last little game that we saw.
Yeah. Now, I am not an Indianapolis Colts fan, but I would say of the three, so that it was Jacoby Brissett who said, space is cold, or how could space be cold if the sun is, or the sun must not be that hot if space is cold. Yep. I think that was a joke. Like, I think that that was just like sort of just like a deep thought from Jacoby Brissett.
A kind of Stephen Wright sort of witticism in terms of a comedic tweet.
Right.
That's just a thought.
But I don't know that this show seems that like it's the people are saying things that are like clearly jokes, but people are acting like they're not jokes to like make fun of people who said a joke. I mean, here's them even talking about this idea of the mermaid.
Do you share any of these athletes' hot takes?
Well, I think mermaids are for real.
If mermaids were real, how come they make so many movies about them?
Okay, that's Bobby Lee. He's making a joke. Ha ha, he's being silly. But the host, Keegan-Michael Key, treats his joke like he's being serious.
That one movie called about the Little Mermaid?
Bobby, it was called The Little Mermaid. And also, my dearest friend, not a documentary.
Okay, but crabs do sing, right? That's real.
Like oof. Nothing that anybody said was funny. And people laugh and laugh on this show.
Oh. Oh, yeah. This is... How did you watch this twice? It was painful. Like there were several moments where you could just tell that, like, you know, Keegan would ask, you know, Bobby Lee a completely non sequitur question, only because there was a joke involved, and that was just, there had to be a setup line. There was no natural transitions. There was no segues. It was just like 42 minutes of awkwardness. And 20 minutes of awesome commercials.
Yeah. There was one point where they were just like playing with sunglasses. Like Bobby Lee had big sunglasses and they were just like passing them back and forth between him and Gabriel Iglesias. And then Bobby Lee gets the sunglasses and puts them back on. And then
I broke up the Beatles.
Okay, everybody, let us get started.
Okay. People are screaming.
I actually did laugh at that's the one.
That was the one joke.
That was the one point in the entire show where I was not crying.
Yeah.
That was the only moment where I actually chuckled.
Okay.
Yeah. It was like, how many bits can you do with this prop? Go. It was like a Whose Line bit.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So now we end up going now. We're going to leave the studio. Okay. We're going on a field trip now. The host of the show, Keegan-Michael Key, and Ian Carmel are going to Los Angeles Rams practice to go learn about playing football. So we're going to take a complete departure from the studio show we've been watching, and now we're going to go watch two segments of a pre-tape piece of them at football practice.
The only thing I have in my, because I took notes, the only thing I have in my notes here is the word why. Because I'm not sure why this was even, like, this is, I was just kind of sat there in stunned silence wondering, what's going on here? Why is this happening? What is this leading to? It did have a minor tie-in to a game at the end of it.
At the end, we're going to tie it back to a game, but we're, you know, trying to like have, it's like a montage of Keegan-Michael Key and Ian Carmel at the practice. Like, put, like, it's like, well, you guys stink at football. Like, yeah, they're not football players.
Yeah. Yeah, go through these drills. Okay. You went through the drills. And it's not like it wasn't like a late night bit where there was like attempt. There were so few attempts at comedy even at this. It wasn't like there was bad comedy. It was such a shift in tone. Where are the jokes? There were no jokes.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing humorous about this. No attempt at humor. It was why?
I longed for the days of Beast Mode Cowboy visiting Dallas Cowboys training camp from Big Brother 15.
That would have been a godsend.
16. Here. 16.
Either.
Yeah. I longed for Big Brother 15. That's how bad it was.
That's where we're at.
Yes. Do you remember that when that there was like some sort of a reward where it was I guess Beast Mode Cowboy, Christine and Frankie Grande went to Dallas Cowboys training camp.
Go to the clip.
Soundboard. Yeah. Okay.
That would have been a saving grace to what was going on here.
Yeah, we ended up with practicing field goals. We practiced field goals, and then also, hey, by the way, Venus Williams was there that day, and she was going to go kick field goals too.
Yeah, they are going to the Bears Rams game. I think it was.
I don't know.
I think it was the Bears Rams games at the LA Coliseum, and they tied it into a game where all three of them were trying to make a 20-yard field goal, and the guest stars, so Gabe and JR, had to basically guess.
Yes.
Who made it, who missed it, and who clipped the uprights.
Yeah, somebody made it, somebody missed it, somebody hit the uprights, and people had to guess. But this was 20 minutes of the entire, like, middle of the show was about the visit to Rams practice.
Yeah, that was the strangest interlude. I got nothing for you, Rob. I have no idea why.
Again, like, who is this for? Are people so desperate? Like, boy, I really miss sports. I would watch anybody on a field doing anything.
It was rough. It was nice to see the LA Coliseum, I guess, in terms of just something like local, familiar, and like something from normal days. But you know, I'm sure they didn't make this knowing it was going to be shown in these times. So yeah, it was strange, but it ended up with a game. So I guess there's that tie-in.
Okay,
there you go.
All right, Keegan-Michael Key did hit the field goal.
Yes, he made it.
He made
Surprisingly, I was surprised Venus missed it.
Venus missed it. Ian hit the upright.
Yeah, twice.
Amazing.
Again, we didn't just finish the game and say, well, let's just try it again and see how things go. Just like, you know, for the kick, you know, like the hell of it. And yeah, and he hit the uprights a second time.
Kurt, well, let's get to our next game, because this one is really we watch people ride a bicycle as fast as they can. We watch then let's go to football practice. We matched up tweets. Now we have a game called Pop Star Penalty. Is this alliteration? Is there a pun here I'm missing?
No, it's just a slight alliteration. That's about it.
Okay.
There's no pop cycle is the for under A, another pop.
Yeah.
B, that had the stronger pun, if this is even a pun.
Okay. Kurt, did we abandon the format of the teams playing each other, or am I missing something here? Because that we're going to have Pop Star Penalty. Bobby Lee is going to go be the goalie, and then we're going to have assorted pop stars come through to try to kick a soccer goal on Bobby Lee.
The only thing that I can think of is because, you know, technically either team could score.
I lost track of the scoring.
We come into this game 6-7 in favor of Team Gronk.
Yes.
For this game, if the pop star made it, hit the goal, team basically scoring against Team Gronk, who, you know, Bobby Lee was in the goal. If the pop star made the penalty kick, then Team Venus got a point. If Bobby Lee blocked the goal, the kick for Team Gronk, Gronk got the point. Yeah. So both points are available for both teams. Maybe just because Team Gronk was in the lead, they had to be on defense in the goal. But
sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's welcome in first to kick a goal on Bobby Lee. Here comes Mark McGrath.
A familiar face.
Yeah.
A name. It was... I was like, this was like...
His face not as familiar as it once was.
Fair point. It was... This was like, I don't know, like just thinking it back, like it was nice to see him on the screen. It was like a little bit of familiarity. It was like a, like, help me. Like, it's like, you know, you just kind of, I don't know. It was just nice to see. It was like a small point of comfort. It's like, okay, Mark McGrath, he's a nice guy. We've seen him on TV before. There was a nice familiarity about having Mark McGrath on the TV.
Yeah.
Even if it was only for like,
it's like, oh, you know, here 3 he minutes. Is. Here
yeah.
he is.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Didn't hate it.
Yeah. So there he yeah. was. And then he scored a goal.
Yeah, he scored against Bobby Lee.
Okay, here's a Mark McGrath clip.
Winning this HOH feels like opening for the Rolling Stones in 1999 when your song every morning was number one.
Yeah. And the opposite feeling of that is appearing on the premiere of Game On to be one of the contestants in Pop Star Penalty was a new low. Being evicted was like being on the first episode of Game On.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm. There he is. Mark McGrath.
Yeah, Mark McGrath. I thought you were making a pun, like new low Coolio, because Coolio.
No,
I jumped the gun there.
No,
I
next up, here comes Coolio.
Yeah,
are you a Coolio guy, Kurt?
Not so much.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Nicole and I believe saw Coolio on New Year's Eve of I guess it must have been. 2009, I think we went to like a club. then that was Coolio was the headliner.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So something to tie it back to your own life. That's good.
Yeah. So there
familiar,
it was.
Another okay. familiar face.
Coolio also is going to kick a goal.
Yeah. And he made it.
Okay. All right. Kurt, here comes our third pop star. And this one is the most random booking we could get here. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's pull the slot machine arm of random bookings. Here comes Macy Gray.
Yeah. You know what?
Macy Gray, one hit wonder. Should she have been in the one hit wonder bracket?
Yes. Because I just know the one song.
I mean, they played her one song.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It was at this point. The slot machine of who's going to randomly come out was like more intriguing than anything that was actually happening on the soccer pitch.
Okay.
But you know, it was kind of adorable how she like tried to move. She moved the soccer ball like, you know, 6 feet closer to the goal, and she was told she had to put it on the white mark. So she moves the white mark 6 feet closer to the goal. I thought that was fun.
Yeah. I tried to kick the soccer ball in the net. But she didn't move it closer. Kurt, before I get dragged, let me just say, so I looked up, is Macy Gray a one-hit wonder? So I believe this is from people in 2009. In 2009, people say that even though she had a multi-platinum hit, that she is a one-hit wonder.
She had a multi-platinum hit.
Yes. She might have had another song that was in top 100.
I'm sure she did.
So her her peaks on the Hot 100. She had I Try, and then Request Line, Black Eyed Peas featuring Macy Gray. I don't know if that's necessarily.
We'll count it.
Some people are going to be defensive.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But Macy Gray. Oh, really? What do you think? They called the Macy Gray's agent and then like, hey, Macy Gray, would you go kick a soccer ball on the show Game On?
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like the only thing that would keep me coming back to this show again would be curiosity about who else
could show up, who else could pop in. That's the Ryan's mystery playdate of it all.
I think you're going to get Vanilla Ice.
Oh yeah, I could see him popping in.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Kurt, this was a great example also of like the game is over, but then it's like, yes. Hey, let's just keep playing around. Well, we go. Let's go to commercial. It's crazy.
Yeah. Hey, Gronk, do you want to try it? Yeah, sure, I'll try it.
Yeah.
If they had kind of cut out all of that extra stuff, like the let's keep playing for the points that don't count, they probably could have gotten one or two more games in there. But I don't know if that's a good thing.
I don't know if they had more ideas for games.
Yeah, well, probably not.
Yeah.
I don't think they had many ideas for this show.
No. Or they had too many ideas, and they need to just pick one and go with it. All right, so here comes another wild segment in the show. We are going to go. What do they call this one?
Pillar of Hercules. Is that what you're?
Yes.
Yeah. Pillar of Hercules.
The Pillar of Hercules, where we're going to bring out the world's strongest man, Martins Lysis.
I think I wrote it down phonetically. Martins Lysis.
Martins Lysis. Okay. All right. And so we're going to have a battle where two people are going to be pushing Martins Lysis as another person is answering trivia questions asked by Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah, was it Survivor South Africa where they had kind of like the rotating thing where you had people on each side of the pole trying to push it around to the other side? It was a little bit like that challenge where you've got people on the opposite side of a pole trying to push the other team back. But in this case, yeah, it was two people from each team against the other, against Martins, and then the goal isn't necessarily to win, it's just to buy enough time for your trivia answering partner.
Now, this was really very weird. There's it was so loud with the people fighting Martins. You could not even hear the questions that were being asked, or the answers, or whether people were right or wrong. Not that anybody is paying attention.
I actually had my closed captioning on, so I didn't. That didn't register. But you're right. They had like every microphone, audience, Martins, the people pushing against Martins, Keegan, Venus. Yeah. Everybody's microphone was like on full blast.
And let me play for you here. Okay, here is. Tell me if you can get what is being asked here of Venus Williams. So that was a question that was asked. A question was asked that she's going to attempt to answer. Okay? Let me play it for you again. And her answer is an interesting one. So I'm dying to really know what the question is. So whatever the question was...
I can help you with that.
Her answer is crop tops, camel toe, and wedgies.
I think the last thing she said was wedges. They were named three kinds of shoes.
Oh.
Was the question.
Oh.
Although.
Okay, that's not what I thought the question was. I thought the question was... Like,
yeah,
name...
no, I know what you thought the question was.
Interesting. Crop top is a shoe?
I don't know, but that I just know that that's what the closed captioning said to me, Rob.
So what did the closed caption say the question was?
It was something along the lines of like name three kinds of shoes or three kinds of footwear. I'm quickly. Yeah, there's a nope. I'm doing a quick Google search.
I thought the question was that that three like unfortunate like fashion things to happen to you. Hey, let's listen one more time. I feel like he distinctly says fashion choices.
Okay, maybe I'm misremembering
that. I don't know.
But let's even see. Then...
I think she says wedgies too. they allow it. They allow it. Whatever it was, she says they give it to her.
I mean, in the like, there was like literally, I think the very last question that was asked for the other team was, "What are three hobbies that Gronk needs to take up?" So there were some that were like factual.
Yeah, some of them are just like, yeah, like just make anything up. Like, name three reasons why Venus Williams is a good tennis player.
By the way, do not Google camel toe shoe.
No,
Rob.
No, I won't. I won't.
But wedges is a kind of shoe.
Yes.
That
okay.
much I can verify.
Okay. Also, Venus Williams does not know the Seven Dwarfs. Right after that, she is asked to name three dwarfs.
And if she gets them wrong.
Oh, sorry.
If she gets them wrong, she can keep guessing. Like it's
yeah. Okay. Venus, name three dwarfs. Okay, no. That's it. Sorry,
yeah.
Venus.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Who
Wedgie,
won that? Venus's team got more questions right?
We went into this 8-8 tied, and Venus got five questions right, and Gabe, for the other team, got four questions right. So Team Venus ended up winning... the Pillars of Hercules, and they end up winning the game overall.
Yes. Okay. And then everybody said, "Okay, let's all see if we can push Martin's Lisi's into the pit."
Of course, you can.
Yes.
There's like seven of you.
Yes. Okay.
Spoiler
alert, Kurt.
Yes.
We're gonna come back. It's time for Gronk and his team to take the L.
Yes, they're. They are given an array of defeat delicacies.
Yes. What did they have to eat? What were they given?
They're each given a different dish. Bobby Lee was given crickets. Mm-hmm. Gronk was given pickled pig's feet. And Gabriel was given silkworms.
Yes. Did Gabriel eat his punishment?
I'm not entirely
sure.
They
didn't show it. They didn't have a camera on him. Bobby ate a cricket. And he seemed like he liked it. And then they reminded him it was supposed to be a punishment. And Gronk took a bite of his thing. And then the show was over.
I think the credits were rolling over this segment.
Yeah.
And so I was quickly losing it.
Well, yeah, I don't think the guys really took the L.
No. They kind of yada yada through their punishment. And they moved on to the wrap up of the show.
And that's it. That's game on. That was game on.
What did I do to you, Rob?
I'm hoping to use your superpowers here to get that this is going to be the last night of game on.
There's nothing for them to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
I think I feel like I'm neutered here in terms of being able to affect anything. Like there's a scarcity of new content, and this is, you know, it's like a rise of supervillains. Mm-hmm. During this time, and I'm powerless against them.
Yeah. Kurt, I have some questions from the listeners of the show. Okay. All right. Let's take some questions from the listeners here. Let me clear something up. So, in the Rob's Podcast patron group, I posted a thread. Hey, we're going to podcast about Game On.
Yep.
Okay. Deidre said, first of all, why? And Paul Borges says, I guess he's being paid to. Every once in a while, new shows pay to have podcasts about them to help get the word out. Listen, Paul Borges. Game
Paul.
On needs to get their money back. This was not a paid advertisement for Game On. Let me clear up the misconception. They should have paid me not to make this podcast.
How dare you, Paul Blurgis?
Here's $300. Friends. Don't podcast about Game On.
Especially when I'm involved.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this was not an ad for Game On.
Neither was Million Dollar. Well, was Million Dollar Mind? No.
We looked at it because we say, okay, well, this is the show that's on in place of a show that maybe we want to see.
Yeah, this is... in any, yeah, this was the, gosh, this is when you would normally be recording your know-it-alls podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In normal times.
Tova. Instead
we get this.
Tova asks, are we weaponizing the Clark curse now? Yes. Yes, we are.
Apparently we are.
Yes. That's right. That's what we're doing.
We can hope.
Kurt, have you followed any of the social media around Game On?
Why? No.
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Okay. Game On has a Twitter presence. Okay. Can Game On live tweeted the F out of tonight's episode?
I wish I'd actually known that. I might
yes.
have.
Yes.
That's the only, honestly, the only thing I might, the only thing that might get me to come back to this is to get into a live tweet battle with the Game On tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Game On be tweeting, nobody's responding. There are 578 followers for the Game On official verified Twitter account.
Wait, they're checkmarked?
They are verified, yes.
Oh, God.
Yes. Okay. Game On, that they at the end of the night, they tweeted, thanks for tweeting with us tonight. There's another all-new episode of Game On coming to your screen next week. There were three replies. I think that might have been the high point for engagement with the Game On Twitter account tonight.
See, you know, having you know a background in social media marketing, I kind of feel bad for whoever got saddled with that. And so, you know, we've got a long history of talking about shows that people just listen to the podcast. They don't actually watch the show. Maybe that's what I'll do next Wednesday, or heck, I could do it tomorrow.
Yeah,
I don't. It's not like it has to be a live tweet.
Tweet to the Game On Twitter account. They're very lonely.
Yeah, let's get the show canceled, but keep the account going.
There were a couple of retweets from the celebrities involved that got a few more responses from people.
A little more traction there.
Oh yeah. Oh, they're memeing also on the Game On Twitter account. Has my plans on Gronk and then 2020 on his spiky helmet, and then the balloon pops and gets him wet.
Clever.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I should retweet this.
Oh no.
Yeah. Okay. All right. There. So I think there was four responses to that.
You're just adding fuel to the paid sponsorship.
Oh yeah, yeah. The people think it's paid sponsorship. Yeah, yeah. This is not a paid sponsorship. Okay. All right. So yeah, nobody's talking to Game On Twitter. Very sad.
Feel sad.
Yeah. They had a tweet earlier in the day. Missing sports? ? Game On is the perfect show for you. You can watch tonight's premiere at 8/7 Central.
I don't know if you've ever been to a comedy sports show. It's like somebody went to that where there's like two teams of three comedians. They compete for laughs and points. It's almost like they saw that.
But combined with real sports.
And they got neither comedy nor sports.
Yeah.
they kind of... oh gosh, yeah, it was just not good. Mm-hmm. Sorry,
yeah,
I feel like a broken record, but yeah,
right. It's a Venn diagram that nobody wanted. Okay. So there you go. All right, Josh Creek has this item, and I'm not sure where he got this from. Is this from the Survivor Twitter account? Rob Gronkowski, former New England Patriots player, stars in the new competition show Game On, premiering tonight. That's right. A Boston Rob is on CBS Wednesdays at 8/7 Central.
Clever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah. Okay. And I know another Boston Rob that lives in Florida too. Okay. All right. And Let's see. Muldo wants to know, Kurt, have you ever thought about changing your name to Clark Kurt for the hell of it?
Yeah, you know what? Several times. Decided, you know, too much paperwork. But yeah, no. You know, I was named, you know, full name is Curtis Clark, and I was named after the some friends of the family, the Curtises. So Curtis could be, you know, both a first name and a last name.
Yeah.
So technically, you know, Clark Curtis, yeah, I could do it.
Suzanne wants to ask, I haven't watched it yet, but like, are you guys okay? Do you need me to send you a guided meditation to make you feel better?
Yes. Definitely. Yeah. Yes.
I think so. I think we took the L on this one.
We definitely got stuck with the L.
Mm-hmm.
Saddled fully.
Yeah. Okay. Troy Steinmetz says, who else should we expect to see in the future for a pop star penalty kick? And he gives a link to 1999 in music.
Oh boy. I think Vanilla Ice is good. He's a little bit more 80s.
Yeah.
Early 90s. Any of the Spice Girls? I don't know. I'm just looking quickly through this list.
Mm-hmm.
There. Rob Thomas, Matchbox 20. Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. That'd be a good get. Be good yeah. get if we could get her or get sorry, it'd be a good get to get Matchbox 20.
Yeah, I've been looking through like a lot of these names. And I'm like, this nope, they've passed. How about no? I think they've passed as well.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Kurt. Anything else you want to say about Game On?
Gosh, no, Rob, no. This no. This
it is, this was so much worse than I thought it might be.
Yeah, it was very bad. But you know, that having been said, it might make you appreciate some of the other things that are on TV now that you might have overlooked. So, lots of other things you could check out now instead.
Yeah, I was just saying before we came on with to talk about this show, like, I don't know what this show is trying to be. Like, what is the successful show on television that this is trying to emulate? Is it the Ellen Game Night show?
I think that's the closest vibe I got from this. But even that had at least some structure to it. I think that's why I was like, it's
Game
a little bit of
games.
It was a little bit of that Ellen show. Crossed with like just the complete randomness of that I Survived a Japanese Game Show.
Mm-hmm.
I
guess that's what it's like. And then we're going to bring in sports people, but it's just like, who cares? Like Ellen, I think has a following that people that would like and watch the Ellen Show every day. Maybe they'll check this out, but I don't know. I don't know where the people are coming from that are going to watch this.
No clue. Were they trying? It's like, we need this to be a success. Let's put it in Survivor's time slot and maybe those people will check it out.
Mm-hmm.
We did.
Yeah.
Not coming
we
back.
Checked. We checked. Kurt, what do you think is going to happen? Yeah, the crystal ball here. Where are we going from here? Do you think that will we see the entire run of Game On, which I believe that Tough as Nails would be the logical replacement, but that is not due to make an appearance on the lineup until it was heavily promoted tonight, but not due to appear on the lineup until July 8th.
But you know what? That only means that doing some quick calendar checking here, we would have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more episodes of Game On.
Mm-hmm.
I could see them sticking to their guns and trying to get through June and then that first, July 1st as well, with just these additional 5 episodes. They're in the can.
Yeah, Wednesday, content. July 8th at 9 to 10. What is going to be the premiere? What's going to be on at 8?
Oh, no. I think they're not going to like do these back-to-back, I hope.
Mm.
Maybe they need the strong lead-in. So I don't know if what. Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on. I know that what I think last week I looked at it was like NCIS or something was on the week between Survivor's premiere or Survivor's finale, and this was like an episode of one of those acronymed crime shows on CBS. So maybe they bring that back. I have no clue. No clue.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, Rob.
We'll see. let's see where we go from here. We got to see what the ratings are going to be, but I have to think that they will not be strong. I feel like this has got to be like a huge drop off from what is normally on CBS on a Wednesday.
Well, we could play a game called Game Off.
Game Off.
Try to pick which week in June we think this will be off the air.
Well, I think what how many weeks did they give the Million Dollar Mile? Did it get three episodes?
No, it got.
Did TKO finish the run?
I don't know about TKO. I know Million Dollar Mile, they quickly moved it to Friday.
Yeah.
And they started doing some back-to-back episodes.
And then it didn't finish.
But no, it did. It went on hiatus for a couple weeks, but then they ended up bringing it back. I want to say that they exhausted all the episodes. I think there were probably like 6 to 8 episodes of Million Dollar Mile in total, but they were like spread out over a few months with some hiatus.
Yeah, I just think that they could run reruns of the CBS procedurals on Wednesday nights at 8 and probably do a better number.
So Wednesday, June 24th, that is 4 weeks. Well, 1, 2, 3, yeah, 4 weeks from now. Do you think we will see an episode of Game On on Wednesday, June 24th? That would be episode 5.
No.
It will not make it to 5 episodes.
No.
Okay.
I think if it makes it to 5 episodes, I think it'll finish the run. I think the question is going to be, can it get to 3 episodes? Like, I think that it might have like a soft premiere or a decent premiere, but the question is going to be, who comes back next week?
Well, apparently Demi Lovato.
Demi Lovato is showing up. I guess tonight... it was on up against Thor Dark World ran on ABC.
Oh, we'll rather watch that.
Yeah.
Not the best Thor movie, but
right, but that's a big deal. And then we also had on up against Game On Chicago Med, which I think does good numbers. Reality wise, MasterChef was airing on Fox.
The Challenge, actually. MTV's
and then
The Challenge.
Ultimate Tag, your favorite, was on at 9, but that's not up against Game On.
No. I think it was So people are aching for reality TV at 8 o'clock. They're going to go to MTV's The Challenge. They're not going to...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's not. This isn't going to pick up the reality, folks.
Or MasterChef,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, Kurt, thank you for spending time with me to talk about Game On.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me to do so, Rob.
Yes, okay. Then I feel like that you were not happy with this.
This was so bad.
Yeah. It was nice that we got to catch up.
Yeah, it was good catching up. It was good commiserating.
Mm-hmm.
This was preferable to just silently hate watching it from my couch.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Nah. Okay.
Yeah.
I got nothing. I'm just like, you live, you learn. And no, that doesn't really apply. You know, you take the good with the bad. There's been a lot of fun ones we've covered. We had to hit a stinker.
Right. I mean, the good news about Game On Twitter is that you get to really like have an intimate conversation with the stars of the show.
That's true. A little one-on-one time with whoever's managing their social media feed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right. Yeah. Kurt Clark, where can people hear more about what you're up to?
I am at Kurt Clark with 2 C's on Twitter, on Instagram, on Untapped, on Twitch.
What's Untapped?
You know how people take pictures of their food and post it on Instagram?
Yes.
Untapped is for what you drink.
And you're prolific at the Instagram food postings.
Yeah, I need to change it up a bit.
So you take pictures of your drinks also?
You check into which beers or ciders you are drinking, and then you can take a photo of them and post it as well as in addition to what, if you're out at a brewery or a bar, you can tag them as well. And something to do.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, this is very interesting. What's your top beer or beverage on Untappd?
Gosh, I was.
Is it only alcoholic beverages? Could I have like post lemonade reviews?
I'm pretty sure it is just alcoholic beverages. I don't think they cover lemonade. I could be wrong on that. I'm like 99% sure it's like beers and ciders. Gosh, I went to a brewery in Denver in January that had some really good. It was like a chocolate cherry stout or something that was amazing. I'm trying to remember. Listener Ryan Borden, part of RGP, will correct me on that. But I was visiting him out there. But yeah, but unfortunately, everything I check into, I'm checking in from home versus from a bar these days. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Of course, check out Kurt on the Top Chef Roundtable as well. How's that going? How many weeks are left?
That is a lot of fun. The went from 6 to 5 this week in terms of the contestants. And so I want to say that there's probably 3 weeks left, 2 to 3 weeks left. Yeah.
Normally, this is the part of the show where I tell people to go to robinswebsite.com/patron, but I'm concerned that people might revoke their Patreon support of what I'm doing, saying like, hey, you're podcasting about Game On. I can't support this.
If the donations get retracted and fall below 23,000, does Mike Bloom not have to get a tattoo?
Yes. No, that's already set in stone.
Good.
So please, I apologize. I apologize. We will not be back with more coverage of Game On next week.
No, we will not.
Unless they say we'll pay you to do it.
Yeah, okay. You hear that, Paul?
If they say that, I mean, or they could pay us to not do it. Maybe we're thinking about coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows these days?
One way or the other. Okay. All right. That being said, be sure to check out, I've got an interview up with Kim Spradlin, with Adam Klein, with Ethan Zahn. Check out my interview with Michelle Fitzgerald coming up. Looking to get something set up with Sophie Clark sometime soon. So we have all of that. And then, Kurt, we have a lot of stuff coming up for the 20-year anniversary of Survivor coming up this weekend. We are going to be commemorating 20 years since Survivor Episode 1 with a special edition of the Wiggle Room on Monday. We're going to be doing that all summer long, going back and looking at old episodes through time, and maybe a couple other podcasts as well during each week. And I will also have a special Survivor Know-It-Alls about Survivor Episode 1.
Nice.
Never before have I podcast with Stephen Fishback about the premiere of Survivor, but we will do that this weekend.
Cool. And I believe that the final wand-off voting is still open, correct?
Oh, yes, that's right. That's right. So we will announce our winner of our final wand-off coming up on Monday as well.
Got quite a few votes in to date. I think that obviously, not surprisingly, the most we've had all season for this one. Keep those votes coming in.
Huge stakes.
Unless you've already voted.
Huge stakes. Okay. Yeah, we're talking to you, Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Not to mention, we'll also have our monthly Rob Has a Podcast patron cast for the patrons. Rob Has a Podcast on Thursday night this week. So a lot still going on. Kurt, thank you for joining us. Take care, everybody. Yes, Kurt, anything else?
No, we're good.
Okay. All right. Thank you for listening to this, everybody. And, to everyone who checked out Game On tonight, our thoughts and prayers go out to you as well. Okay. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.